Welcome, everybody. Thank you, Rabbi Weinberger. This share will be Le'ilu Nishmas Baruch Binyamin Ben Moshe, and all of Spark Share and what we're doing after Pesach.
Yes, Hashem B'Shav and Eli, and the whole family shall be Simcha Nachis and Baruch. You know, I had a whole spring talk planned. It doesn't feel so Pesach-like tonight. I just come from Toronto, where it was starting to snow when I left. But you know it's going to happen in one day. It's going to change. And that's what I want to talk about. It's going to change. Everybody knows that we have a gift from the Rambam, the 13 Ikarei HaEmunah, the 13 principles of faith. It's a gift that the Rambam gave us, along with so much else that he gave us. He gave us this gift of the 13 Ikarim. Now the truth is, we don't have anywhere in Chazal. There's absolutely no source for the Rambam's 13 Ikarim that are found in Chazal. There's no source. It's not in the Gemara. It's not in the Medrash. The whole Musag, the whole idea of singling out certain basic Yesodos, principles of Yiddishkeit, is not something that's so poshut. The question of where did the Rambam take that from? How did he decide that this is called an Ikar, an Ikar? This is a Yesod of Yiddishkeit? No. This is not the Yesod of Yiddishkeit. How did the Rambam come to that? And there's a tremendous, tremendous amount that's written. There were different Rishonim, and Achronim had different Ikarim. There's a whole Sefer called Sefer HaIkarim by Rabbi Yosef Alba. There's a great deal written about this. Nevertheless, the Jewish people, Chazal say, Im lo neviyim heim, b'nei neviyim heim. All of us, if we're not prophets, we're the children of prophets, and we have good taste. And we have come over the years to accept these 13 principles that are written in the back of many of the shachris in the Siddur already, and it's part of Am Yisrael's Yerusha. But when you look in Chumash, when you look in the Torah, there is one particular mitzvah of the Torah, one particular area of Yiddishkeit that is very, very clear that in Chumash itself, without a doubt, Zeh HaIkar, that this is the Ikar, and everything else in Yiddishkeit are branches that come from this Ikar, and of course that's Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's Pesach. It's Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's our leaving Mitzrayim. Just some examples. When it comes to Shabbos, V'zachar deki evad ha'yis haberes Mitzrayim. Shabbos. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. And so it is with all the yontivs. It's all about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Even Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which on the surface, what does Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur have to do with Yetzias Mitzrayim? It's all Yetzias Mitzrayim. Tzitzis, Tefillin, Kedushas HaBachor, not to take interest, fair weights and measurements. Many of the mitzvahs, Benom L'Chaveiro, how you treat another person, oh no, not to mislead, not to trick, not to offend or to hurt other people, to insult other people. Remember, you're in Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim. And it's very clear that remembering and living with Yetzias Mitzrayim is the shorish of who we are, of all of Yiddishkeit. That's why when you look in the Haggadah, the child, the son, who is a Rasha, who is wicked, he is called in the Haggadah a Kaifa Be'ikr, meaning that he has denied the essence of Yiddishkeit. Since he does not include himself, nor does he see himself as part of the whole story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, he rejects that. By virtue of his rejection of him being part of this journey of Am Yisrael, Yetzias Mitzrayim, and so on, because of that, he is called a Kaifa Be'ikr. He is an individual who has rejected all of Yiddishkeit. It's not up to the Rambam, that's in Chumash. That Yetzias Mitzrayim is the Yisod of all of Yiddishkeit. So, what is the Yisod of Yetzias Mitzrayim? What is Yetzias Mitzrayim? So I want to learn, to learn very simply, what is the Yisod of Yetzias Mitzrayim? That's also very, very clear. When you learn the parashiyas of Yetzias Mitzrayim in Sefer Shmos, when you read through, very simply, without going into even the farshim or anything fancy, the yisod of Yitzhak Yisraim is one word, which is emuna. Which is emuna. That's why every second pasuk in the story, Laman teida ki lashem haris, ubavur teida ki ein kamoni b'chal haris. And in fact, when you look at the 13 principles of the Rambam, Hashgacha Pratis, the belief in Hashem as being involved in watching everything, Nevuah, prophecy, even the belief in Mashiach and Chias HaMeisim, it's all rooted in Yitzias Yisrael. Mashiach means that Hashem took us out then, and the belief that He's going to take us out forever from Golos, and they, because Yitzias Yisrael, as Rav Kook writes, Yitzias Yisrael is one long process. It hasn't ended. We left Mitzrayim, that was the beginning. And Hashem is rowing it to you, right? You know that outstretched arm of Hashem? Why is it stretching so far? Because it's outstretched over all the years of history, and the Yitzias Yisrael is in progress. We're holding Otot by the end. But Yitzias Yisrael is a long story. That was the explosive first episode. That was the beginning. But it's, what are they called? Not sequels. You know, when they have a little show, that goes, it's a series. It goes on and on and on. It's Hashem is rowing it to you. The outstretched arm of Hashem. Therefore, all of the principles of Yiddishkeit stem from Yitzias Yisrael, and Yitzias Yisrael is the story of Emunah, is the Ikkar of Emunah. So what I want to talk about now is what's unbelievably fascinating about this story is that it begins with the mitzvah of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, of the new moon of Rosh Chodesh. This Shabbos, Mitzvah Hashem, Friday night, this Shabbos, is Parshas HaChodesh. And that's the Parsha of HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, that while we were still in Mitzrayim, we hadn't even left yet. Rosh Chodesh didn't know exactly what the moon is supposed to look like, and Hashem told him, Kazer Eva Kadesh, he showed him, this is what it means. You see a little piece of light, and there should be Kiddush HaChodesh, and the whole ceremony of Kiddush HaChodesh and how it worked, with the witnesses coming. Now we have a calendar, but it used to be, and it will be, with witnesses coming and so on, and how it was done, and the huge celebration that took place when the new moon was sighted, and the Bezdin, and B'Kudish, and it was dancing, and according to some, there was a bracha that was made. Now this year, in particular, there's excitement, because it's an Ibiyur, it's a leap year, and every leap year every leap year reveals the unique quality of this mitzvah of the new moon, since during the leap year there's this realignment of the lunar calendar and the solar calendar, and all of you know that at the beginning of time the moon was diminished, and we're davening that the moon should be restored to its original light, which is the light of the moon. Was originally like the light of the sun, and every leap year that's happening in some way, that these two lights of the two Ma'oris HaGadolim are being realigned, and Midavan, it should be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring about that Vayor HaLevan Karacham, because she was my gracious, and the Jewish people who are so diminished in Golos and are so broken in Golos, like the moon whose light is so hidden, that we should be brought back to be ourselves, and that we should finally leave Golos and come back with Mashiach. But the question is, why is this the beginning of Yitzias Yisrael, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? It's even before we left. In other words, the ticket out. It's really, that was like the ticket out. It was the mitzvah we got in Mitzrayim of sanctifying the moon, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. And the question is, what's the big chiddush with HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? What's the big chiddush of the new moon? And it seems that since that's the shorish of, that is the mitzvah of Yitzias Yisrael, that was like the ticket out, our mitzvah to get out of Mitzrayim, so it must contain within it also the secret of Emunah, the yisod of faith, since that's what Yitzias Yisrael is all about. So what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes is, why is it and how is it that this mitzvah of the new moon, of Kiddush HaChodesh, how is that the yisod of all of Yiddishkeit? And what exactly changed with Kiddush HaChodesh that wrote about this revolution of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Rav Kook, when he spoke about Yitzias Mitzrayim, he called it Aviv HaOlam, the springtime of the world. He didn't just mean the season. He meant the springtime of history. Something changed. something happened by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and Rav Kook refers to it as that there was a long winter. All of mankind was submerged in the dark winter, and then by Yetzias Mitzrayim, the world began to enjoy something different, the spring. All of the world, especially Am Yisrael, of course, the spring. And all of this took place through the mitzvah of Kiddushah Chodesh. So in order to understand this, we're going to enter into the Beis HaMedrash of a very remarkable person who was nifter just a few years ago in Asar B'Teves, Rav Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. I'm sure many of you have heard of him, yeah? My wife and I were actually privileged to be on a trip with him to Poland, to Lublin, to Rav Tzadik, to Sfas Emes. He was one, he was, I don't want to say the greatest, he was from the greatest Bali Machshav of our generation. And one of the subjects that Rav Moshe Shapiro speaks a lot about throughout his Torah, throughout his, the Svarim that we have, is the subject of time, of Zman. Zman. HaChodesh HaZelochem, Rav Moshe explains that HaChodesh HaZelochem, even the word chodesh, month, means chadash, means something is new, means chiddush. Achodesh hazeh lechem. It's a way of saying achidush hazeh lechem. I'm giving you something extraordinary, something new, something that has never been before. Achodesh hazeh lechem. And what is the chiddush that was mischadish at that time, by Yetzias Mitzrayim? Rav Moshe explains that time, the way that time is counted, the way that time is measured, the tick-tock, you know, of the clock, and the monotony of the hours and the days and the weeks and the months and so on that pass, all of that is following a certain path that is described by Shlomo Melech. We'll get back to that description a little bit more later, but described by Shlomo Melech as Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. There is nothing new. I'll pay close attention under the sun. Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh. The entire definition of time was changed by that sanctification of the moon and by Yetzias Mitzrayim, and he explains that that according to the Torah, the word Zman. Think about the word Zman. Is there any other word that you can hear in that, or an adaptation of that word that you're familiar with? Zimun. Okay, that has to do with benching. That's interesting. We're not going to talk about that now, but it's very much connected. What do you call an invitation that you sent this? Hazmana. Right? Hazmana is an invitation. So Rav Moshe explains that when you look in the language of Torah, the word zman or hazmana means to prepare for something. That's what it means. Lahazmin. Right? If you want to order something, notice you don't have it, but you want it. And you reach out to get it. That's hazmin. You order something that you want to have in the future. That's called a hazmana, to anticipate. There's a whole area of halacha. That's a question that's in many gemaras that's called hazmana milsa. Hazmana milsa is brought down. For instance, if a person is preparing the sofer, is preparing the animals in order to make a pair of tefillin. So there's a very big question in halacha regarding the subject of hazmana milsa. Hazmana milsa means that if there's the hide of the animal that was already designated, that this hide of the animal is going to be used for the purpose of making tefillin, what bearing does that hazmana have upon halacha? Do we say hazmana milsa or hazmana lav milsa? In other words, does that mean that it can no longer that's it? It can no longer be changed because it was already set it aside and designated it for some future use in holiness. For a Sefer Torah, for a tefillin. So there's a whole question of halacha, hazmana milsa, hazmana lav milsa, but it basically means that there is something that I have set aside, and I have designated this, and I have sort of invited through this, I'm inviting something to come into my life in the future. I'm inviting something, like with the tefillin. Since I set aside this piece of leather, I am anticipating, hoping, and dreaming, and working towards this goal that this raw piece of material of animal hide is going to one day be, you know, on this bar mitzvah boy's head. And that's the hazmana, the invitation for something greater, something bigger that's going to be in the future. So Rav Moshe Shapira explains that the connection between the words zman and hazmana is that in all other languages of the world, in all other languages and all other cultures, time, he says, is nothing but a landscape or an empty blank canvas upon which events take place. The same way that in physical space, in Mokum. So in this Mokum, this little Beis Medrash was made. This little room was made. And when you have a place in the world, the place doesn't have any, doesn't really have its own identity per se. It doesn't have any purpose other than it's just a blank canvas upon which something happens and somebody brings something. So Rav Moshe Shapira explains that so it is with time. The meaning of time in all other languages has nothing to do with the future, with preparing, with wanting, with dreaming, with longing, with anticipation. The meaning of time, it doesn't mean you can't look forward to something in the future, but time itself, zman, this minute, that minute, the next hour, and so on, he says is only a chalal reik, it's an empty space, an empty vacuum. During that time, it's good if something nice happens, then we call it, oh, that was a nice time. I had a good time. But time itself is nothing from nothing. It's nothing from nothing. It's worse than nothing. We'll talk about that in a minute. But it's absolutely nothing. In the same way that it is with a place. Time and space are really like just open blank pages upon which something can happen or something. Whatever. That's all that they are. But by Yetzias Mitzrayim, before we left, Hashem prepared us, and he said to us, listen, Chevra, we're going to start something new. And this is the purpose of creation. And we're beginning this with a mitzvah called Kiddush HaChodesh. And Hashem revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu, this is what we're going to be laying on Shabbos, HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, which means, Rav Moshe explains, which means, that every single moment of time is an invitation to something greater, something deeper, something more important, something meaningful in the future. And the whole etzem, he says, the whole side of time is about preparing, growing and preparing for something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has promised, for something that Am Yisrael is longing for and diving for, anticipating and waiting. And this is very different. This is completely different from the conventional understanding of time, which is best described in a famous saying. It's not exactly clear where it originated, but it's true. It's Ha'avar Ayin. I'm sure many of you have heard this. The past is no longer. Ha'osid, the future, is a dying, it hasn't happened yet. Va'ahova, and this moment that I'm in right now, is what? It's keherifying, it's like the blink of an eye. That perception of life is one where the only experience that a person can experience at the moment is this moment that he's in. Many, many people prefer, because the present moment they're in is not enjoyable, so they prefer to live in nostalgia, constantly taking out old albums and old pictures and thinking back and looking back and saying, oh, yeah, Mullah's Gavain is all I get, you know, used to be so nice, and this is how it was, or, you know, the way we were. And that's, some people get lost in the past. And there are other people that they don't feel anything this moment, and they just live, maybe something will be in the future. So they have some hope that perhaps the future, if it's going to be that if there will be a future, that the future should be good. But Rav Moshe explains, but the emes is the only time that you actually have is the present. We understand that. You don't have the past, it's already fulfilled. It's avar, it's gone. The future is stam demyanus. You could imagine all kinds of things that you like, it's demyanus. It's imagination. So all that a person has is the moment that he's living in. And Rav Moshe says, and the moment that you're living in it, the moment that you're living in, as you're living it, dies. That moment dies. As these words are coming out of my mouth, they die. The moment, the present moment, is dying. So he says that the etzem achayim, the life itself, of the present moment is the only thing that we have, because the past is tam, zechroinus, memories, the future is the demyanus, delusion, imagination. The only true life is this moment, and this moment is passing. This moment is disappearing. As we're here, this moment disappears. So, therefore, the chiddush, Rav Moshe explains that the chiddush of achodesh ezeh lachem, or like some people will say before they do a mitzvah, especially the chassidim and the svardim are very careful with this, that not only do they say l'shemichu kutshubichu shchinti, which is not for now to go into what that means, but they'll say the words hinini what muchan umzum, that has to be zimun. Right? Hinni muchan, because what does it mean? It means we're getting ready to bench, right? So hinni muchan umezuman. Hinni muchan umezuman. I'm prepared. I am ready for what's coming up, right? I'm preparing myself. Hinni muchan umezuman. Hinni muchan umezuman. That means that Rav Moshe explains that the chiddush of Achodesh Zalachem is that Hashem is Baruch revealed to us that every single moment is—it's not about the moment and this moment dying. Every single moment is mazmin. It's being mazmin. It's inviting. It's anticipating. It's taking the person towards something higher and something more meaningful, towards the ultimate goal, which in the Vim we're describing, which is the Mesa Mashiach. And therefore, a Jew, from the time of Achodesh Zalachem, Hashem revealed to a Jew that just as the moon waxes and wanes, and it seems to disappear, but really it's being mischadish, and we go out for Kiddush Levana, and we look at the new moon, and we say, Baruch Atah Hashem mechadish chadashim, and we say, David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. David Yisrael, Chai V'Kayim. Women don't go to Kiddush Levana, but it's the most beautiful, ritual that we have, one of the most beautiful rituals we have. So you stand under the moon, he said, Dom Sol Chai V'Kam, everybody's in the winter, you're freezing, in the summer it's hot, but under the moon, Dom Sol Chai V'Kam, what's that to do with Dom Malach? That's the Malchus of Hashem, Malchus of Mashiach, Dom Sol Chai V'Kam. And even we say to each other, you have to say to three different people, you say Shalom Aleichem, right? Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. It's like this person you knew your whole life, but it's like you're just meeting him, right? Why are you saying Shalom Aleichem? This is the guy you're arguing with the whole day in shul. And then you go outside, so you walk out of the building, and you stand under the moon, and you say, Shalom Aleichem. And he says to you, Aleichem Shalom. What's the Shalom Aleichem? There's a lot written about that. But on the simplest level, it means there's so much more about you that I know that one day I'm going to find out that I don't know yet. I don't really know you yet. And that's why I could say to you, Shalom Aleichem. It's like I'm meeting you for the first time. It's so nice to meet you. You know this person for 7 years, and you're fighting for 7 years. And you know this person your whole life, and he's saying Shalom Aleichem. He says Aleichem Shalom. What's that Shalom Aleichem? Shalom Aleichem because I know, I believe, I can't prove this. It's the Sherish of Amunah. Because I don't know what it is, but I know that the person who you are really and who you're going to be revealed to be is somebody that I don't really know now at all. But I'm waiting for that. And I believe that it's going to be. I know that it's going to be. There's something else here. It's not just about an empty canvas. It's not just something, some empty canvas or an empty space that you just, whatever it's filled with. It's like we say in the Kiddush Levana, We say that just as the moon every month goes through its stages and we believe that it's going to return, so too we say Shehem Asidim Leschadesh Kamaisa, that the Jewish people who are compared to the moon, which is how we count time. We brought that to the world. We brought that to the world. The way to count by the moon, not by the sun. We brought that to the world. So in order to just bring this a little bit down, more down to our lives, this yesod of Kiddush HaChodesh, and why all Amuna comes from this, and it's his sign, which means getting out of all that's, what is a Meitzar? Meitzar means that which is constraining and confining you. That which tells you that you're always going to be the same, you can't change. Kiddush HaChodesh means that you could always change, because that's all Zman truly means, is a Zimun to something greater. Hazmana to anticipate and to work towards something greater. It's the opposite of Mitzrayim, which is being stuck and being in a Meitzar. The whole world accounts by the sun. The sun is a kriyas. The sun is something that doesn't change. Its presence doesn't change. It is what it is. Thus is thus. And the whole world was worshiping. The whole world was worshiping that. Was worshiping the sun, particularly the way of life in Egypt and in ancient civilization. That the Jewish people brought the revolution of Yetzias Mitzrayim, by breaking out of the boundaries of this is who I am. To be able to look at yourself also to say, Shalom Aleichem. I don't know myself, and I want to find out more about myself. And I'm being mazmin myself. I'm inviting myself to something greater. This moment, it's not just about what I had this present moment, now it's dead and it's gone. It's we believe in Tchias HaMeisim. We believe in Yimei HaMashiach. All of that belief comes from HaChodesh Zelachem. So let me just remind you of an old story I've told many times. I actually told to the Chevy yesterday, last night, and when I was in Canada. I mentioned this story towards the end, that there was a great tzaddik 225 years ago or so, Rabbi Yisachar Ber from Radishitz. So big tzaddik, the Heiliger Radishitz. Anyway, he was once going somewhere, and he had to stop to stay by some kretschmer. Kretschmer was like an inn. It was owned by a Jew. This was nothing like the Grand Hyatt, you understand? And he had to stay by this kretschmer, by this inn. And the old man, the balabas, was so excited. He had this Rebbe, this tzaddik, you know, that coming in. And he said, Rebbe, I have for you the best room, you know. He's going to give him the suite, you know, the best room. And give him a good meal. And he was so excited. And he'll have a good night's sleep, because the Rebbe was very tired. He was traveling. And so, good. So he gave the Rebbe this wonderful room. And the balabas was downstairs. And it was late at night. And he heard the Radishitz, so the whole night, was walking back and forth in his room. He heard him back and forth pacing. And he felt so terrible, that maybe the mattress wasn't a good mattress or something. No, it depends how you put the hay, you know, into the. So, we're not talking about Seeley's pastor Pete, you understand? So, or any other, you know, because our family, we have a lot of problems with the beds being comfortable. So the Rebbe was not sleeping. So the balabas felt very bad in the morning, after davening. So he said, Rebbe, was the room comfortable? He said, no, the room was very nice. And he said, and the bed wasn't comfortable, the mattress wasn't good. The Rebbe said, I didn't know, the bed was very comfortable. So he said, look, Rebbe, I know, Rebbe, that you didn't sleep. No, I know that you couldn't sleep. So the Rebbe said to him, listen, whatever the guy's name is, Yankel, let me ask you something. You're here for a long time. He said, yeah, he told him he is. His father was there. He was there for a long time. So he said, do you remember that, was there a time when there was a tzaddik that came and spent here a few days in your inn? So he's thinking, he said, yeah, we had a long time ago. So when my father was still alive, we had the schus, we had that Rabbi Yosela, the son of the Chayzer from Lublin, was staying here. Rabbi Yosela stayed by us. I remember as a kid. She said, oh, yeah, Rabbi Yosela, it's a big tzaddik. And so then the Rebbe asked them, "Tell me something, Yankel. Did Rabbi Yosela leave something here?" So he was thinking. He said, "Actually, I remember what happened was that my father refused to get paid. He said it was my father told him it was his chus that the Rebbe should stay there for the week. So then Rabbi Yosela took out from his bag. He had a clock, a small clock. And that clock," he said, "Rabbi Yosela said to my father, belongs to my father, the Chayzer from Lublin, who had passed away. And I want to give you this gift. Accept this gift of this clock. Instead of, you won't take any money, could you accept this gift of the clock?" And the Chayzer said to him, "I want to tell you something." And he said, "That's the clock over there." And the Radishitz pointed at the clock. And he said, "That's the clock." And he said that, "I want you to know that I couldn't sleep because of that clock. The whole night, I couldn't sleep." He said, "But the clock is downstairs, and why can't you sleep? It doesn't make any noise." He said, "Every other clock that's ever existed in the world, it makes a sad sound, because it's the sound of how much less time you have to live in the world, a minute less to your life, and how your life has passed. Every clock in the world makes that sound. But I couldn't sleep because I heard the sound of that clock. That clock is not ticking in that way. It's only ticking towards Mashiach. That clock is filled with the simcha, with the joy of the Chayzer from Lublin, of the tzaddikim, who live every moment of their lives, believing and waiting that the best is yet to come. They're not stuck in the moment that's dying. They believe that even after death, it's not finished. That after death, it's not finished. The story is not over. It's just the beginning. The story is not over. Because that clock is the clock that comes from Achad Shezeh Lachem. And you and I were wired, as Jews, we were wired on that day, that amazing day in Mitzrayim, when Hashem gave us that mitzvah, we were wired with a new clock, with a new way of time. And that mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh was to remove from our lives the way of looking at everything like the way that the world did, which is by the sun. And here's where we find how Shlomo HaMelech spoke about this. You know, I mentioned this also yesterday. You know that Rav Kook had some very great Talmidim. There's no question that the most mysterious of Rav Kook's Talmidim was a huge tzaddik by the name of Rav David Cohen. But we don't call him Rav David Cohen. Does anybody know who that was? What was he called? The Nazir. He was called the Nazir. Because he conducted himself in the way of a Nazir, which is now it's not really done. He was called the Nazir. If you ever seen a picture of him, he has crazy hair. He was a genius of geniuses. He was actually raised pretty much in the house of the Chafetz Chaim. And he was from Raden. And he went then to university in Switzerland. And how he met Rav Kook. And Rav Kook was the one who made his shidduch. And the story of the Nazir, there's a sefer in Hebrew. There's nothing that I know of in English about him. Maybe online there's some stuff, but there's a sefer. Kiyafli, a Nazir is called a wondrous person. He was a wonder, this Rav David Cohen. He lived in Gula. And the Nazir wrote a very famous sefer called Kol HaNavua. And he wrote about Koheles. And the book of Koheles is a very hard sefer, very, very hard sefer. And you can get depressed. If you don't learn it properly, you can get very depressed. It's not anything that we were taught in yeshiva, Kalis. And the Nazir says that because when you read Koheles, you feel what he calls the ke'ev ha'olam, the pain of the world. And what is the pain of the world in Koheles? So I mentioned before pasuk, but ma shahaya hu shiyiya. Whatever was, it's going to be. Whatever it was, it's going to be. That's all. Sovev, sovev, holech, haruach. Just like the wind makes its circles. Sovev, sovev, holech, haruach. Val, sivosav, shover, ruach. And then it comes back. That's how everything, whatever it was. Yesh, dover, shiomar, re'ezeh, chadash. Then there's something, and people say, oh, re'ezeh, chadash. Shalom Melech says, ukfar haya, lo olamim. It's just a different permutation of something that's old. It always was. So the Nazir says that that book captures, that sefer captures the pain of the monotony of life under the sun. And that's why Shomer says that Ein Kol Chadash Tachas HaShemesh, under the sun. But Chazal say, however, by the moon there is something. And higher than the sun, which is the way of counting that we count, which is from the moon, which is not tachas HaShemesh, it's not subjected to the unchanging boredom, monotony of moments that die upon contact, that those moments die. And because of HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem, and that's how Shlomo Melech ends the Sefer. He ends the Sefer by saying, listen, if you're looking for something new in this world, some new thrill, some new excitement, something different, under the sun, you're not going to find it. But if you join me and travel to a place that's higher than the sun, then you're gonna have a life that's filled with longing, with meaningfulness, and with the excitement of being connected to the one who is infinite, who transcends time. And the meaning of that is that Shalom Melech is saying is that you have a different clock, and the clock that Hashem gave us by Yetzias Mitzrayim is the chiddush of Zman, which makes us into B'nai Charin, into people who are free to change. We're not stuck. We're free to change. We're not stuck. And that's why Yetzias Mitzrayim is a yesod of Emunah, because that's what all of Emunah is about. And then we say, L'man tizkor es yom tzeischem es Mitzrayim kol yimei chayecha. Yimei chayecha, we say in the Haggadah, yimei chayecha hayomim, kol yimei chayecha halelus, to take you through even the nights. They say to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim during the night. And that makes it possible for all of us to live even through difficult times, like the one they're in right now, to live through difficult times with excitement, with anticipation, even with simcha, even knowing that death itself is only a hachana for tchias ameisim. Death is a hachana for tchias ameisim. That's what the Maral explains, that we bury people, which is also something the ancients didn't do. The inyan of kvura is the same way that you plant a tree, because you believe that Adam comes from the Adama, and the Adama is a place of growth, and the person is buried in the ground because this person is only being placed into the earth on order, a hazmana, for something that's greater and something that's forever, and something that's going to be beyond death and that's higher than death, which is Lomal Min HaShemesh, which is one of the final principle of Emunah, which is Tchias HaMeisim, that we believe in Tchias HaMeisim. If any of you have ever been to the grave of Rabbi Levine that we were lucky to be a few years ago, you know where Rabbi Levine is? You know the Tzaddik Mishlaim, right? You know where he's buried? Have any of you been to his cavern? You haven't been to his cavern? He's buried smack in the middle of Yerushalayim, in Sanhedria. In Sanhedria, there's a cemetery. When you go on Shmuel HaNavi, there's a cemetery in Shmuel HaNavi, right? It's a small cemetery, a big tzaddikim there. Rabbi Avad Yosef is also buried there. And Rabbi Levine is buried in Sanhedria. And we were zeichet to go a few years ago. And it says he wanted that every person who comes to his grave, you read on the grave, that you should say, Ani Mamim B'tchias HaMeisim, that Hashem isn't going to be Mechayim Meisim. Hashem is going to be there. He wanted to, even when he died, he wanted to give a shiur while he was lying there. He wanted to be mechazik people from the grave. He wanted to talk to us instead of just saying something it was, because that's what most of the graves talk about, what was, right? But he wanted on his grave, on his mesev, should say what's going to be. So when you come to Rai Levine, you go. It's my, you walk up the stairs, it's right in the middle of your shrine. And it says over there, and you walk right in, you see he's over there. It's not hard to find. And it's a small place. And he wanted that you should be able to be mischazik with Chias HaMeisim. And especially when it comes to what we're going through right now, b'chlal, the whole Indian of Eretz Yisrael, what's the difference between Eretz Yisrael and the rest of the world? And this connection that we have. The rest of the world in the first Rashi, we were already told that that all of the nations of the world are going to try to grab hold of Eretz Yisrael. But Eretz Yisrael belongs to Am Yisrael. The rest of the world is called Nachlas Goyim. That's the inheritance of the Goyim. Whatever, Japan, China, England, France, that's their place. And in those places, we've been guests. Usually we haven't been treated too nicely. But those are their places. That's called Nachlas Goyim. So Moshe Shapiro explains that Nachlas Goyim, Nachala, is in the word, what word do you hear in the word Nachala? Nachal. What's a Nachal? A river, a creek, right? It's a Nachal. So Ramesha explains that Nachlas Goyim means a Nachal. A Nachal is something that just keeps on going. It just flows on and on and on. And he says that's like the word Shana, as opposed to month, which is Chodesh, which means Chidesh, how we count time by the moon. The Goyim count by the sun, the years. And the word Shana can also mean to change, Shoneh, but also means to repeat. The Shanos, like Mishnah Torah. It means when something repeats over and over and over again. So when you go to the river, when you go to Nachal, it's the Zelba Maisa over and over. It's just something which it just flows on and on and on. But when it comes to Eretz Yisrael, the Torah writes, Ki Aretz Asher Ata Bo Shama L'Rishta, the land that I'm giving you, Eretz Yisrael, Lo Ki Aretz Mitzrayim Asher Yetzasim Yisham. It's not like Egypt, the place of confinement of death. Remember, the Egyptians were Meshigah with death. They worshipped death. It's not like Mitzrayim, Asher Yetzasim Yisham, Asher Tizra Ezarecha, V'Hashkisa Baraglecha Kegan HaYerek. He says, the Egyptians, they have the Nile, and the Nile is that Nachal that flows through Egypt. Everything is irrigated by the Nachal. Nothing changes. It's just like that. However, the land that I'm taking you to, now that would be convenient to have a nice place like that, like a river going through and irrigating it, but it's not like that in Eretz Yisrael. Because the land that I'm taking you to, Eretz Harum Uvikos, it's an exciting place. It's got mountains and valleys. This winter was a very good winter with rain in Eretz Yisrael. It's a lot of rain. Limtar Hashemayim Tishtamayim means that Eretz Yisrael doesn't have this permanent river flowing through, giving the fields water. Eretz Yisrael, every single second, you have to say, please, Rabbi Shalom. My eyes are turned to you. He says, Limtar Hashemayim Tishtamayim, you're only going to drink if it rains. And Eretz Yisrael, every whether it rains or not, you know, if you get into a taxi and it's raining, the guys are like, Mom, this is the best day. First, they pick up a lot of people on in the rain. So all the taxi drivers are excited when it rains. But besides that, every Jew in Eretz Yisrael is happy when it rains. The Americans, the chutznar people, they're all complaining it's slippery, it's miserable, it's raining, because when you walk on the river, it, you know, drips on you in the store. But the Israelis, Hashem. It's raining, because life in Eretz Yisrael is filled with anticipation and excitement. It's an hazmana. It's a hazmana. It's an invitation. It's connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what the Torah says. It's a place where Hashem is constantly seeking and paying attention to. Hashem's eyes are perpetually upon the land from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. So Mitzrayim is just a nachal. A nachal means boring. It means hergel. It means what? Mashahaya? Who she? They say this is no krahayil oinom. It's always, but the rain is something that it wasn't before, and it's here now, and therefore, everything about Eretz Yisrael is chiddush, is chiyus, is alive. When we're there, we feel that we're alive. All of us here are cracking and crying. When you talk to Israeli Jews, they're like they're more alive now than ever before. They themselves have been facing the Malach HaMavis since. Since Shemini Atzeres, the Malach HaMavis is dragging around and all kinds of trouble. I mean, there's always sorrows, but what's happened from this time, the Malach HaMavis, and yet the Eretz Yisrael Dikei Yidden, they're alive, because the whole place itself is a place that is a place of Chodesh Zalachem, and because of that, it's a land itself that the land in Eretz Yisrael believes in Chesed Meisim. The earth believes in Chesed Meisim. When you walk there, you take one step, this is from 3,000 years ago, and the next step is high tech. It's a place of, the earth is Tchis HaMesim. For the Goyim, nothing would grow. You know that. It's a Ketz Megula, it's a revealed miracle. that the Goyim were there for so many years and they tried everything, nothing. Eretz Yisrael refused. When Jews come back, we bring the land back to life. It's like Sleeping Beauty, and the prince comes and gives a kiss, and everything comes back, right? Everything comes back to life. The princess is back. Everything wakes up. The whole when Am Yisrael's Eretz Yisrael wakes up, because the land itself is mizuman. The Eretz Yisrael is always saying, "Hinei Mukhan Mizuman. I am prepared and ready for Am Yisrael to come back. I'm prepared and ready to be the place for every Jew. I want you to come back here to me. This is your place." Eretz Yisrael is sending to every one of us all the time. Hazmanis, hearing them a little bit louder than before. Eretz Yisrael is sending an invitation. Why don't you come home? Every one of us gets every single day when you take out your meal. So you have all the junks, all the stuff, and the bills you don't want to look at, all that stuff. And there's always one invitation that says, "Ma eifarta? Eifarta? What's the matter with you? I live in five towns. You live in the five towns? Yeah, we have Costco over here. We have all kinds of things over here. Every week there's a new restaurant. $100 more. Each place is another $100 in the last restaurant. And as she's all saying, I'm inviting you to come back to your home. This is the place that's alive. This is the place of Mashiach. Mashiach is the letters Sham Chai. There you are alive. That's the letters Mashiach. Sham Chai. In that place, over there, Chai, a Jew is alive. It's a place of Tchias HaMeisim. The whole Metzias of Eretz Yisrael is the Metzias of Tchias HaMeisim. So I'm going to tell you a story that I've told before, that is especially meaningful to me because anything that's connected to my Rebbe, Rav David Lifshitz Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, I feel always excited about connected to. So this is about two of his friends, actually. My Rebbe Rav David was the Suval Karov and was my Rebbe Yeshiva, and he spent time together with the great Mashgiach Rebbe Yerucham Levavitz. I'm sure many of you heard of Rebbe Yerucham, the Mashgiach of the Meir Yeshiva, Rebbe Yerucham. In Europe, Rabbi Yerucham. And he died a long time ago. And there were two Talmidim of Rabbi Yerucham. One of them lived in Chicago. His name was Rabbi Mordechai Rogov. He died a long time ago. And there was somebody, there was an old friend of his in the Mishi that was visiting. His name was Rabbi Elchanan Yosef Hertzman. It was also from that chabur, that world. So this Rav Hertzman was Meir Yisrael, and he was an American, and he went to Chicago to visit his old friend. He was very excited to see him. They were already both old men. Rav Rogov was a few years older than him. And they spent like a week together, and Rav Hertzman said to Rav Rogov, "Rav Mordechai, I have to tell you something. You're older than I am, but you still live like when we were in yeshiva. Like, you know, you're like a kid. You're like yeshiva bach, the way you're running and everything that you do, and how you get up early, and you're this and that." And he said, "I never saw such a thing. Like, where do you take the energy from? And, you know, you're older than me. Where do you get that from?" So Rav Rogov said that, "I'll tell you where I got that from." He said, "There was a certain vad that some of the chever had once a week with Rabbi Yerucham. You weren't there yet, but we had a vad with Rabbi Yerucham, a special group that was chosen, and I was part of that. I was lucky to be part of that group that was chosen, and it wasn't in the yeshiva; it was in his house. And Rabbi Yerucham, you could set your watch by Rabbi Yerucham's schedule, and for some reason, we were sitting there waiting, and he didn't come. And a couple of minutes passed, and it was a beautiful, beautiful spring day. And we were waiting, and all of a sudden the door opens, and he says, 'Rabbi Yerucham's like on fire. Mamash on fire.' And Rabbi Yerucham turns to us, and he says, 'Ichab yeske kumen from the gas. I just came from the street. When alles wächst, everything's growing.'" Because the flowers were coming up. It was the alles wächst. "Everything is growing." And then he was quiet. And he said, and he said to them, I heard every single blade of grass and every single flower saying, Yeruchim, for vos vaxt il mit. How come you're not changing? I heard every flower scream at me, Yeruchim, why aren't you growing? Why aren't you changing? The whole world is alive. Why aren't you growing? Why aren't you living? That's what he heard from the springtime. So the spring is a call to life. Chedesh Ha'aviv is Hashem calling out to us to fall in line with the march of Am Yisrael from Yitzias Mitzrayim, from that remarkable day, Yitzias Mitzrayim, and to remember Yitzias Mitzrayim. And like Reb Sadik writes about, many of the tzaddikim write about, that the Yisod of Anochi Hashem Lekacha is telling each and every one of us, and all of us are in some way or another being held hostage, not just the hostages, Hashem should take them out today, that there's going to come a time beyond this time that we're going to be out. It's not going to be the way that it is, and that all the promises that Hashem has made to us are going to come true. And we should be able to count time with the clock of the Chayzim Lobafim, and we should be zeichet to count time with his clock, and not with the clocks of the world that are so sad and depressing, to live with the clock of the Chayza. And we hear the Chayza's clock ticking very loudly now. And we should be zeichem Hashem to come to that time. Should be kimei tzeischem eretz Yisrael, the way that we left Yisrael, eren in the flows, we're going to see even greater wonders. The coming Mashiach to come, maybe a minute.